Cage, Reykjavik Noir, Book 3, written by Lilja Sigurdardóttir and read by Susanna Hampton.
April 2017. 1. The cell door shut behind Agla's back with a smooth click. All the doors and walls in the new Holmshade prison were sound insulated, so the women's wing was quiet in the evenings. There was no slamming, and no calls or mutter of televisions carried through from the cells of the other women serving their sentences there. Instead, there was a heavy silence, which seemed to engulf her like water, and she was sinking slowly and gently to the bottom. She had known that being locked up wasn't going to be a pleasant experience. A few years earlier, she had been on remand for a couple of days while the market manipulation case against her was being investigated, so she had been expecting something similar. But this was unlike anything she had anticipated. It was one thing to spend 2 or 3 days in a cell, at the end of which her lawyer had appeared like a guardian angel, sweeping her away to dinner. It was quite another to walk into this building that still smelled of damp cement and filler, knowing that it would be her world for the next year. Now she had a month to go before she was eligible for parole. In her mind, she had divided her sentence into sections. She had to complete half of her time, and then the rest would be on probation. But now that the second section was within sight, she was consumed with trepidation. Somehow, she had become the animal in the zoo that dared not leave its cage for fear of looking freedom in the eye. As her time in prison had passed, she had found the cage an increasingly comfortable place to be, to the point where she was numbed by it. There was now something reassuring about having all her power taken away from her. The more she had complained about the hard mattress and the piss-warm shower, the more a simple fact had filtered through into her consciousness. Whatever she did or said in here made no difference. Her own will was of no consequence. She had the impression that life was progressing ever more slowly, and she was finding it increasingly difficult to make decisions. The warders would often suggest she played games or did some handiwork or brought her books from the library, but she could no longer be bothered to play, work, or read. The same seemed to apply to the other women. She'd seen those whose sentences had begun after hers turn up furious and bristling with pain, just as she had. But after 3 months, all their fury had dried up, and now they hardly even spoke to each other. Two of the Icelandic prisoners had arrived at the same time as Agla. With the justice system overloaded, like Agla and many others convicted of non-violent offences, they had had to wait a long time before they could start serving their sentences. Another woman had come here from a prison in the north, and one had joined them some time later. The foreign women were on the other corridor, so they had come and gone without Agla noticing. All of them had been mules, young women from Eastern Europe, dressed in tracksuits with dyed hair and poor English. Like the Icelandic prisoners, they kept to their own corridor, but somehow their community seemed to be livelier, although the gales of laughter and the songs could sometimes turn into screams and fights. At the beginning of her sentence, Agla had made daily visits to the fitness room, accepted interviews with the prison chaplain, if only to have someone to talk to, and made an effort when it was her turn to cook. Now, though, she no longer had the energy for any of this, and her fellow prisoners were lucky to get rice pudding and meat soup, as she couldn't summon the energy to cook anything more demanding. Not that they complained. They had probably stopped tasting any flavour in the food long ago. She took the nail clippers from her vanity bag, then used them to pick tiny holes in a sheet so that she could tear it into strips. 2 strips would definitely be needed, twisted together so they were strong enough. She had planned this a long time ago, when she had been informed that her probation was coming up, but she hadn't made a decision about a precise day. Earlier, though, just after the evening news on TV, she had had the feeling that it was now time.